Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me all the way from New York City, my good friend, my co-host, and David, you are my brother in Christ, Mr. David Amen. Paxton. Happy to have you. You know, David, usually the first show of the week is real newsy. I mean real newsy. Because I'm a member of the U.S. Press Association. We're adding you as a member of the U.S. Press Association as well. We're going to be covered on every angle from north to south in this country to where we can continue to talk truth. But, you know, our last show, David, end of the show, our end of the week show last week, we got a tremendous number of comments from people. And for the most part, I think it was pretty well received. There was a few people I think that had maybe didn't have an understanding possibly, or one of the reasons I put the title the way I did is because a lot of people go by what they hear. You know, mama tells them something, a brother tells them something, a good friend tells them something. That's in the Bible. No, it's not. Or you know, there's a different real meaning to it. That they are missing. And so what I thought we would do, make this show a little bit different for the first show of the week, is yes, we will have news. We're going to keep you guys up to date, but we're going to talk about those comments because a lot of them dealt with scripture. There was a lot of scripture quoted. And for those of you that did that, thank you. We really enjoy that. You know, we want you to get in the word. We want you to challenge us. If your understanding is a little bit different, that's fine. If it's not a salvation issue, we don't have to have lockstep opinions on things. You know, the only thing that we're going to insist on is the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is through Him. That's the only thing that is no compromise on that one, right, David?
That's right. It can't be any other way because the wages of sin is death. You have a contract that's due, and it can only be another man who pays off that contract. That's why Jesus had to become a man. So Almighty God had to become a man in order to pay off your sin debt. And if he didn't, then you still have to pay your sin debt. So it's got to be the only way.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, you just said something there. He was a man. And this is another point that needs to be made before we even get into the questions. And that is that Jesus Christ came to earth 100% man and 100% God. Now, that's something that's very difficult for people to understand. David, you got 40 years experience in this stuff. You tell them how that's possible.
Well, here's the deal. He had to walk as a man because the contract law states it must be between like kinds. He couldn't come down, and he is the righteous judge. So he has to judge sin, and he has to judge it righteously.
Correct.
And the wages of sin is death. Now, him being Almighty God has the capacity of eternity, so he's bigger than all mankind put together, but he also has to be a man, so he's got to come down into a man. And most people don't realize this. He actually walked as a man. Everything he knew, it's because he pretty much emptied himself when he became that little baby. He didn't know how to walk. He didn't know how to talk, you know, because some people think, oh, he was God. That's why he did all those miracles. Well, yes, he was God, but he did not act in the capacity of God while he was here on the earth, which is why he said, no man knows the day or the hour except the Father.
Amen.
Because I'm sure he knows now the day and the hour, but while he was walking on earth, everything was, what did I read in the Word? How do I get close to the Father? Because if he acted as God, that would be an unfair exchange. And because we can't walk as God, we can only walk as a man. So he had to walk as a man. So all the miracles he did as a man. That's why he said, you'll do greater things in these. Okay. All of the stuff that all the wisdom that he had, he learned from studying the word over and over and over and over.
Amen.
All of the insights, all of the power that he had, even to raise Lazarus from the dead, he learned that as a man and he understood all these things. Now, if you remember when the demons came and like, hey, we know who you are. And he's like, you know, no, shut up. And, okay.
Yeah, right.
So they looking at him like, you know, a little snake eye at him. Mm-hmm. What's going on over here? And he's like, no, that's not how it works. But anyway,
I had a preacher say that, trying to explain this, and I don't, you know, and please understand, he was a great Christian man, wonderful minister. He said that actually when Jesus came to earth or came, you know, in form of man, that he on his own, he voluntarily gave up a lot of knowledge in order to be here on the earth. Now, I'm not putting that in the same terms that Jim did. I know I'm not, but mm-hmm. What he said made perfect sense, and it comes back to what you were saying again just a minute ago when you said that only God knows the day and the hour. And so, you know, he would have known that as God on earth, but he chose, and that's the key word there. He mm-hmm. chose not to know that at that particular mm-hmm. time. That, and now, that was what was imparted to me by, again, a minister that I've really trusted quite a bit. Do you have mm-hmm. any argument with that? With that?
No, that's precisely what he did. Like I said, he didn't even know how to talk when he was born, yeah. clearly.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be kind of weird. Hey, baby's born, you know, and he starts quoting scripture.
Gets up and starts walking and talking and doing yeah. things right away. What, yeah, yeah.
What's
yeah.
in that frankincense you
yeah.
gave him?
Right. Yeah, that would have been, yeah.
Yeah, so he had, like I said, he had to walk as a man. So he had to do everything. He was tempted in every way.
Right.
So he must have been tempted in, man, I hate this school. I want to go outside and play.
Right.
He had to be, because it's every way. I
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
You know, I remember 3:15 every day I would watch the clock.
Oh, and it yeah.
ticked down.
Okay, oh, yeah.
5 minutes, 4 minutes, that's it. Every day.
Ding, ding, ding.
For 6 years in grammar. Yeah. You know, 3:15 every day. I can still see the clock in my head. I watched it so much. Yeah, so he must have done the same thing, because that is one of our temptations. Yeah. So, yeah, and everything. He just emptied who he was to become that man mm-hmm. because of the glorious, you know, salvation that he had planned Amen. For us. And Amen. Then he learned all about who he was and what he was supposed to do from the scriptures as well. Mm-hmm. So here's the problem. The agnostics are like, oh yeah, he learned how to do it. That means we can learn how to, no, he was the Messiah. you know, and he was the appointed one. And yeah. the only difference was he was without sin.
Amen. Amen.
That's why he can pay for us.
Amen. Okay, we're going to do some news, and I'm going to start with the fact that today is Super Tuesday.
Yay!
So I just dated our show, but it is underway right now, and you know, as far on the Democrat side, you know, that's a done deal. Everybody knows that. As long as Biden wants to run, he will run. It's going to be up to him to decide whether or not he wants to go and go all the way to an election or not.
I wonder what they tell him.
On the Republican side, we're down to former President Donald Trump and former ambassador and former governor of, what is it, South Carolina, Nikki Haley. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that'd be a good place to start. Nikki Haley, now this is coming out of Reuters, okay, and out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Nikki said that she's drawing the biggest crowds of her presidential campaign there in North Carolina. She said, I just want to say that I did something. Okay, what'd you do? Now,
she's running for president.
There was a person there. Her name is Allison Emanuel. She mm-hmm. was an attendee at the Haley event in Raleigh. And she was asked directly. She said, if the South Carolina governor had a shot at the Republican presidential nomination. And her response was, no. And you know what? I don't care. That's an exact quote. That is an exact mm-hmm. quote. Okay. Now, in interviews with 13 voters at Haley rallies in Virginia, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C. in the past several days, 11 said they considered Trump's primary victory a sure thing or close to it, but they came out anyway. In other words, these are, for the most part, by the way, Nikki Haley won in Washington, D.C. She won the Republican primary in Washington, D.C.
They can't vote, though, can they?
There is not any Republicans in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, there's none. Yeah.
So what's the point? That's stupid. So anyway, forget that one. Okay.
You win.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. Okay. So I am going to talk about something that is of importance, and it's is of importance to God. And so when I report this, I have to say, David, that I am a member of the U.S. Press Association, and what I am about to tell you is factual information. And I'm going to start it with an actual audio report. And again, as a member of the press, I'm able to do that. Here we go.
In a significant move, the two largest pharmacy chains in the U.S., CVS and Walgreens, have announced plans to commence the sale of abortion pills as early as this month.
The drug in question is Mifepristone, commonly known as the abortion pill, and its acquisition will necessitate a prescription. The Food and Drug Administration, in 2000, approved Mifepristone as a safe and effective method for terminating unwanted pregnancies. Jessica Oakley reporting.
In other words, you can now murder children in the United States.
It's not safe and effective for the child.
Yeah, it's now legal to do that. And now let's go back to the Bible on this one right away. And you've got to remember that there was a time when babies were executed, basically, right, David?
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't like it then. God did not like it then, and God doesn't like it in 2024. What may be legal is still considered by God abhorrent and wrong.
Yeah, it's irrelevant what legal means.
Right. Right.
It's from Babylon. Who cares what they say is legal?
So, you know, do you have anything that you'd like to say on that issue? I mean, mine is very personal, David. I was adopted at two days old. Okay. And I had a caring mother that wanted me to have a good life. That's the reason I was adopted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of parents in this world that would love to give a home to a child. And in my opinion, and again, as an adoptee, I think I have the right to say this, give the child a life. You don't have to raise them. You can have them. You can take them out for adoption. You can take them to a fire station and drop them off if you want to.
There are plenty of people looking for babies.
Absolutely. So, you know, I condemn this decision on a personal level, and I consider it to be an immoral murder from a spiritual position. You want to say anything on that?
Yeah, 100%. There's a lot of things we can say on it. Number one is it comes from the spirit of Baphomet and Baal, and they want to sacrifice the children because they believe they can, you know, catch it. Mm. Even like that Disney movie, Monsters, it's like, oh, we want to scare the kids so we can capture their screams. They're telling you stuff, folks. Mm-hmm. Watch out for that movie in addition to all the other ones.
Yeah.
They're telling you things. Now, Satan thinks he can get power from all of these sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And in some sense he does because of what he did, but clearly ultimately he's on the losing end. But this has been going back a long time, even before the flood. If you read Enoch, they would talk about drinking a certain mixture so the girls wouldn't have their babies, and then they would keep their figure.
So that's kind of like the abortion pill of the day.
It was a drink back then, and then there was also one. If you committed adultery, they would make you drink something like that as well, just to do it. And then when you had them, I'm not necessarily an anti-Christmas guy, but we need to look at some of the traditions that we have, one of them being the Yule log. They would sacrifice a child over Yule means youth, over the Yule log, because that would bring prosperity for the next year. If they would sacrifice one of their children. There's so many things. And now we're just sacrificing them on the altar of convenience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
And it's like, oh, this and that and the other. And now, undoubtedly, there's witchcraft involved in a lot of them as well. So we're mm-hmm. going to call the devil out on that.
Yeah.
And not only are we protected by free speech rights, we're protected by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, and his Amen. Protection over us. So I'm going to say what the Lord is telling me to say.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not interested in anyone else's contrary opinions.
Amen. So,
I'm from New York. I say it like a little different. It's, you've obviously mistaken me with someone who cares what you right. think.
Well, on a very similar note there, the federal court has ruled, or ruled yesterday, actually. No, it was today. No, it's yesterday. They ruled that Texas has the right to arrest, to detain, to arrest, and deport mm-hmm. illegal immigrants into the state of Texas. They made it against the law. And so the sanctuary cities of Dallas and Houston, San Antonio, I don't think Fort Worth is involved. Fort Worth's still pretty sane. Anyway, I don't think they're going to be able to hide them anymore. And that's what they've been trying to do for several years. Yeah.
They found right over here by me in Queens, they found 40 of them in the basement. Night was not even an apartment. They just put them in the basement of a local store.
Yeah.
Those tiny little stores that are like this wide all throughout Queens.
Yeah.
40 of them. They would take turns sleeping because there wasn't enough room.
I have seen 12 and 15 get out of a Volkswagen Bug. I'm not lying. I mean, it's incredible, but
you should have recorded that. That'd be a great, great movie.
That was years ago. Even I wasn't involved in this. Now this one, again, we have right now a vice president who I think, and this is simply opinion, I believe that she believes that if they can get elected again, she's going to end up being president and could actually serve probably 3 terms. Now, I'm not really familiar. I took political science. It was one of my things, but I'm not familiar. She would be elected again as a vice president, but I don't think that counts as being elected as a president. So she could serve like the remainder of Biden's second term and then 2 on her own, I think. And I think that's what she's got in mind here. Where I'm going is this right here. Listen to this very carefully.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza to bring an end to the immense suffering in the territory. International mediators are in the Egyptian capital Cairo for talks. Truce negotiations have reportedly stalled because Hamas has refused to supply a list of hostages who are still alive. Former Middle East policy advisor in the U.S. Jasmine El Gamal says talks are complicated.
The latest iteration that I saw was a 40-day pause, 40 hostages released, and 400 Palestinians released for those. Those are the kinds of formulas that we're talking about here that they're trying to come to an agreement to.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris and Benny Gantz are expected to talk later about the need for a temporary ceasefire. Kamala Harris is meeting the Israeli War Cabinet in Washington to discuss humanitarian aid. Jagruti Dave reports from Washington.
Officials from both sides have confirmed that the meeting is taking place. In a statement, Benny Gantz said that U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, as well as a bipartisan group of congressmen and women, would also be attending. A White House official said that Vice President Harris would be expressing her concern for the safety of around 1.5 million Palestinian people seeking refuge in Gaza, in Rafah, in Gaza. But she would also reiterate Israel's right to self-defense against attacks from Hamas. The White House is coming under increasing pressure to help broker a ceasefire, as well as secure the release of the remaining Israeli hostages captured by Hamas. All of this comes to the backdrop of fragile ongoing truce talks, as well as an airdrop of humanitarian aid over the weekend in Gaza by the Biden administration, while the United Nations is warning that the Palestinian people in Gaza are on the verge of a famine.
On the verge of a famine, I'm sorry. Think about that from scripture as well. That's another thing that was mentioned as something we should look for in the last days. Now, we got some more news reports, but we're going to hold off on them, okay? Because we're going to do this a little bit at a time here. And I wanted to get in right now, David, into some of the comments that we had here. And where would you like to start, sir? I sent these to you as well a couple of days ago. I asked you to look at them. And
the comment, right?
And I'm going to read this one real quick, and I'll let you comment on it. This is 65 GTO trips. He said, what people don't remember is that scripture says in the twinkling of an eye. So it'll be if someone isn't saved, is in front of a saved person, they'll be there 1 second, and the next they're gone. Now, that's 100% correct, right?
No, I mean, let's read it, shall we?
Okay, well, when I said, I kind of overstepped myself on that one.
Yeah.
What I meant to say is that the person that would be standing, the saved person, would be transformed in the blink of an eye. That's what I meant to say, and I know that's where you're going.
Yeah, I know.
Go ahead, David.
So, and it's 1 Corinthians 15:52. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, here's the crux of the verse.
Okay.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on the incorruption, immortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, oh, death, where is, death is swallowed up in victory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says right here that our bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible.
Amen.
It does not say we'll disappear.
Right. And it doesn't say that there's going to be an instantaneous. And for those of you, again, for everybody out there, please understand this. We are reading this, and David is the one that pointed it out to me initially, because I was under the impression, too, that, you know, when this happened, it was like, bam, you're gone, you're out there. But David pointed out, and this is a very, very important point, it says that the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then the Christians alive will be taken, okay?
Caught up in the air together.
So what that said, there's a time frame there. If there wasn't a time frame, it would say all people living and dead are all transformed at the same time, and they all are instantly in the air. And it does not
never
say that.
Disappear.
It doesn't say that. Go ahead, David. I know you got a lot more input on that one.
This is good. I mean, you got to put all the pieces together. Remember, it's corroborating evidence. Everybody gives a little bit of piece. The whole story comes together when you read the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1 Thessalonians, we'll start at 4:15.
Okay.
It says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that which are asleep." That word there, let's look it up in the that was the King James.
Okay.
But the word is precede. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Those who are alive and remain will not precede those who have fallen asleep.
Right. Right.
For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. So here's the picture.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say boop and we're gone.
Yeah.
It says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. So the archangel is going to announce he's coming, and we have the trump of God. This is not the last trump in the Bible.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's the very last one you read about, because the seven seals in the seventh trumpet that's not the last one, the seventh trumpet. Mm-hmm. The last trumpet is a specific, it's a name of a trumpet. The last trump is when there's a Taglich Haggadah. It's the last one they blow on the Yom Teruah, mm-hmm. which was the day of blowing trumpets. They would blow three long ones.
Right.
Like SOS, mm-hmm. 99 times. That mm-hmm. final one, they would take the deepest breath they could and blow the longest trump. That mm-hmm. was named the last trump. Okay. So when we hear that, that's what he talks about. That's why a lot of people think the rapture is going to happen on Yom Teruah, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the language is specific.
Yeah.
And that's the last trump, not the last one in line.
Right.
That's what that means.
Right.
So, but it says we will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Mm-hmm. For the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and those who are alive and remain, or the dead in Christ, will be raised first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
Yeah. We see him. We see him come down, and then we go up to meet him in the air. It's not an instant disappearing.
Okay, and CNN we'll get back to that is going to have a fit. CNN yeah. and MSNBC, if they're still on
they're
the air.
Say, look, you know, they got sucked into an alien spaceship.
Yeah. Now, along this line here, and we don't have much time in this first half, but
we'll
the
pick
same,
it right up in the second half.
Yeah, the same mm-hmm. individual commented here, said that this is in regard to the harvest that you were talking about in the last show. He said, mm-hmm. in harvest, you take the product to another place. On top of that, it says in the blink of an eye or the twinkling of an eye. And yeah, we're being taken to a different place, all right. It's called heaven.
Oh, I see. Yep.
Right?
We're going to go meet him in the air, and then we go to the wedding feast.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I got my robe ready. I'm good to go.
And the twinkling of an eye thing, you're correct on that. The thing is that the twinkling of the eye thing is the transformation. It's not the ascension. There's a difference.
Correct.
And when you think about it and you really delve into the Bible and into Scripture, you see where the disciples watched Jesus ascend into the clouds, and mm-hmm. the angels told them that he will return in the same way. So you've got to, you've got to take all this stuff into context when you are reading Scripture. Now, we're going to be back.
Read the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll be back, and we'll pick this up right away in the second half of the show if you guys will hang in there with us. Remember to go to www.lastchristian.net if you ever want to see these things in video form. It's www.lastchristian.net. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, share, and we'll be back right after this break.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. The United Nations Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict says it believes that women were raped during the October the 7th Hamas attacks on Israel. Pramila Patten's remarks at the UN headquarters in New York follow her recent trip to Israel and the occupied West Bank. William Denzelow reports from New York.
Pramila Patten says there's clear and convincing information that sexual violence, including rape, has been committed against Israeli captives taken during the October 7th attack. She adds there are reasonable grounds to believe that conflict-related sexual violence occurred in at least three locations during that Hamas raid that killed around 1,200 people.
In most of these incidents, victims were first subjected to rape and then killed, and at least two incidents relate to the rape of women's corpses.
Since then, more than 30,000 people have been killed in Gaza, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. The UN Special Representative didn't visit Gaza, but said the reports of sexual violence against Palestinian women during Israeli raids and at checkpoints in the occupied West Bank. Patton's report requests for a full investigation and has reiterated UN calls for an urgent ceasefire. William Denslow, New York.
It's Super Tuesday in the U.S., the biggest day so far in the 2024 race for the White House. Voters in 15 states and one U.S. territory will choose their candidates for president. It's widely expected Donald Trump will become the Republican pick. Washington correspondent Benji Hire says it's a significant moment in the campaign.
It's one of the biggest days of this year's primary battle. Millions of Americans heading to the polls in more than a dozen states to vote for their preferred presidential candidate on a day called Super Tuesday, a defining moment in the campaign. And it could make Donald Trump the presumptive Republican Party nominee to take on Joe Biden again.
Troops have been deployed to try and defend the Haitian capital's airport amid attacks by armed gangs. There have been clashes reported around Toussaint Louverture Airport, with armed groups demanding the resignation of the Prime Minister and hoping to prevent him returning from abroad. North Korea is slamming war drills being held by the US and South Korea, calling them rehearsals for an attack. Operation Freedom Shield is a bilateral exercise being held for 11 days, Chris Gilbert reports.
The US and South Korea say that the war games are an effective and necessary measure to make North Korea reconsider its ballistics missile program. But Pyongyang is warning of consequences, calling the drills frantic and reckless. Through state media, a spokesperson rejected U.S. claims that the war games are defensive in nature, saying they are a rehearsal for attacking the North and warning a nuclear war could be ignited by any spark.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas. Joining me there from New York City is my co-host, Mr. David Paxton. David, we're going to get right back into what we were talking about as we exited the first half of the show. To put this in context, at least close to it, and by the way, 65 GTO trips, if I am getting you wrong on here, please let me know, and I'll be happy to correct myself. I'm not ever trying to get, trying to mislead anybody. But the way I read it is David was talking about the harvest, and there was four elements to it from what I remember. David, and then you know, as far as the gleaning being the last, right, where they go around the corners.
Yeah, it's the final part of the harvest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was saying, yeah, but when you harvest, you take the product to another place. On top of that, mm-hmm. it says blink of an eye or a twinkling of an eye. Now, I think, again, we addressed, I think, that in the first half as far as timing goes. But if you want to comment mm-hmm. on that a little bit more, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, let's... It's quite the twinkling of an eye is literally that little split second between time frames. If you look up Max Planck and his time constants, it's 10 to the negative 43 seconds is the frames of life. That means it's 43 zeros with a 10, and that's how many frames there are in 1 second of your existence. It's literally digital. So it's that time frame between one of those. That's how fast it is. Mm-hmm. 43 zeros. So that is not the rapture by definition of the word. That's not the harpazo, which would be the snatching up.
Right.
That is the changing from corruptible to incorruptible to precede the being caught up.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the air. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the other verse in 1 Corinthians talks about, you know, we will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible in the twinkling of an eye.
Right.
So we'll be changed. You've put the narrative together. We'll be changed. Boop, and all of a sudden we'll be in these brand new glorified glow in the dark bodies.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. We'll be able to do everything that Jesus did when he came back.
Right.
All right, you can walk through the walls, you can still eat your food, you can do all sorts of really cool things. in addition to the spiritual things that we have no clue what we can do yet. Mm-hmm. So that will change. But then it's clear, crystal clear here, that there will be some sort of time frame here mm-hmm. because it said we will not precede those who have fallen asleep.
Right.
So there's a time statement. Okay.
Right.
Those who are alive and remain mm-hmm. is a time statement.
Right.
Then we'll be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. That takes time. Mm-hmm. All of this is a time statement. We don't know how long that time is. My guess is 40 days, but I'm just a guess.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a reason for that. We'll talk about it.
And I would also just interject here real quick that if it was happening like in a twinkle of an eye and then another twinkle of an eye, then why mention that? I mean, because, you know, if it's like they're taking it this instant and then an instant later, which it doesn't even equate to the blink of an eye, we are taken, mm-hmm. then why even mention it? There wouldn't be a reason to insert time in that because nobody would recognize it as
right. So here's the picture. Okay. The entire bride of Christ gets changed at the same time. Instantly. That moment, that twinkling of an eye, everybody.
Right.
Now, just because of that, obviously some of us would have to still be alive, but our bodies would change at that same second, whether right. we're alive or dead.
Right.
Some of them would have to be left over. Mm-hmm. So we're still here. Okay. So we see that time frame. But then now we need corroborating evidence for this. I don't just pull this out of my hat, okay, right. and say here. Mm-hmm. No. When mm-hmm. Jesus rose from the dead, there were people that rose from the dead with him. Amen. We talked about that.
Right.
That would be the first fruits mm-hmm. harvest. So mm-hmm. that would be, okay, here's what's going to happen. Here's the first fruits, and we bring that to God. So they mm-hmm. rose together, and it was specific for those around Jerusalem to testify that Jesus rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, clearly, it couldn't be people from way back when. No one would know what they look like.
Right. So, right.
But if you look at some of the writings from that back then, Josephus had one, and he has a testimony of how two brothers that were rabbis came back and walked around. He talked about that, and there's mm-hmm. other. There's other writings that, mm-hmm. that testify to this. What he says in Matthew 27:52, they rose from the dead. That's the first part of the harvest there. Mm-hmm. Now, that is precedent for us getting up and walking around the holy city, if you
right.
would.
Right.
Okay,
right.
because right. I didn't just pull out of my hat. That's what happened before. Looks like it'll happen again.
Yeah.
Now, also don't pull it out of my hat that we'll just, go up to the air and, and see him. It clearly mm-hmm. says mm-hmm. that Jesus will descend.
Yes.
Okay. He'll be coming in the cloud.
It doesn't say that he taps his foot on the on the land. In this particular case, yeah. It's like a half down thing. He comes to the clouds, and we meet him there.
Correct. And the picture for that we see with Isaac going to meet Rebecca. He came down off of his horse. Mm-hmm. She came out, mm-hmm. and they met. In the middle.
Right.
But there was clearly some amount of time that it took him to get there.
Amen.
There'll be some amount of time for us to go meet him in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we know that? And how do we know he's coming down in the clouds? How do we know we'll go up to the clouds? We turn to Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
And it says in verse 8, we'll start there.
Okay.
It says, so he's telling them, hey, this is going to happen. Actually, let's even back up. Let's back okay. up to verse 6, because this is important. People okay. say they kind of mix everybody together. You think you're in the same pool. And when I tell them Matthew 24 is about Israel, and they were expecting Jesus to take over and rule at that time.
Right, right.
All right? So Matthew 24 is not about Israel. They ask him specifically, hey, when are these things going to happen? He says, mm-hmm. okay, we're going to see this and this and this and this and this, and then I'll come back and rule and reign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the rapture is not about him coming back to rule and reign. The right. rapture is about him coming to get his bride to go to the wedding feast.
And to protect us from what's coming. Right.
Correct. Now, they did not know that. Disciples didn't have any idea of this at mm-hmm. this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When Jesus was still alive, clearly he wasn't resurrected yet.
Right.
And then right
he
after the resurrection.
He even said that, David. He even said that. If you get, I'm going to butcher the scripture. But don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet, right?
Don't cling to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, all right. So here's the mindset of the disciples at the time. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, all right, Jesus is here. He's the Messiah. He's going to come and rule and reign on the earth and take over the kingdom now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Jesus, when are you going to do this? It's been like 3 years. That's what you see in Matthew 24.
Yeah,
and he's
right.
like, well, it's not exactly like you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm not going to tell you. Yeah. Okay.
It wasn't until later that they start to learn about this whole church thing, and now they're getting it.
Yeah.
But they still thought he was coming back relatively soon. That is panned out in verse 6. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 1, verse 6.
Okay.
He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Mm-hmm.
They were still looking for him. They're like, okay, you rose from the dead.
Uh-huh.
Now, Now are you going to restart a king? I'm still looking. He's like, right. Dude, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but my father puts this in his own power.
Right.
But you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So they're like, well, that's going to take a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, when he's spoken these things, while they beheld, so they're watching him, yep. while they were watching, he mm-hmm. was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Mm-hmm. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up,
that's
behold, two men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were watching while he went up. They're mm-hmm. watching him. Mm-hmm. Where's he going? Two men stood by them in white apparel, mm-hmm. and what did they say? You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were doing.
Right.
Gazing up into heaven.
Yep.
This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall come in like manner, the same way you've seen him go into heaven.
Yeah.
It's like, you see him go up, he's coming back the same way. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to watch for. That's mm-hmm. why they all knew the rapture was coming. They're like, he said he's coming back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he is. He's coming back. And I'm still excited. Okay. When? Let's go.
Yeah,
you know, ready. Let's look this up.
I'm ready.
So now you can put this whole picture together. He walked around for a while. He's like, hey, you're going to restore the kingdom now.
Mm-hmm.
So now people were changed. Our bodies are changed. We glow in the dark. We're walking around. We're witnessing to people. No more taxes. It's going to be great. And then people are going to, like, now you're coming, Jesus? Mm-hmm. Now you're coming? No, we got a wedding first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is what we're going to see. So I'm not just making stuff up.
No.
This is all scriptural.
Yeah,
and when we look at it, this is exactly the way he's going to come back. This is what they were expecting at the time. So you can't conflate Matthew 24 and some of these scriptures. You can't say, oh, that's the rapture. And he says, oh, after this time. No, that's for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue into the next comment here. And again, this is 65 GTO trips. And a good comment here, by the way. He says, gathering his elect from the four winds of the earth is not about the rapture, as his elect is the chosen, a.k.a. the Jewish of Israel. You want to comment on that one?
Yeah, I think I did on there, actually. Let me see here.
Okay.
Some of my comments are like,
they're buried, yeah.
Yeah, they're buried in there, but I know what I answered.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, and he's right. The gathering at the end is the gleaning. You see anything with four winds, four corners of the earth, four angels gathering from different things, you see that is the final harvest. So, the elect is different.
Yeah, and I talked about that in the last show, too. You know, that was a point that I was thoroughly convinced meant that the church was in heaven. I'm steadfast on that. The church is in heaven. The angels go and they gather all of us up to go back for the true second coming, not the rapture, but the second coming of Christ. Okay.
Well, they could do that, but I think it looks like he got the elect, because 144,000, they're saved. Well, I think they're going to be like at the wedding supper in chapter 14. It talks about that. Okay. But 2/3 of Israel will actually be cut off then, according to Zechariah.
Right.
So the third that's left will, as a nation, receive him.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones he'll gather, okay, along with chapter 6, it says, there the great, chapter 7, and, the 12,000 from each tribe, boop, 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 boop. Mm-hmm. Right underneath that, it said a great multitude from every race, language, nation, and tongue.
Right.
This is what they're talking about. That will be the final harvest, because we already had the main harvest in the rapture. Now we got that final gleaning harvest at the end of the tribulation period.
So now you're in agreement, though, with GTO to trips here, that the elect that he's talking about there are the Jewish people and not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I'm clear on
the
that.
The elect is different.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Because they were elected,
and
it's different where you got to look at the terminology. Even Enoch comes right out of the beginning. He says, at the end, when there's the elect and the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, they're elect and righteous. No, no, no. Elect and the righteous, two different groups.
Not the elect righteous, but the elect and. There's an and. Yeah. Right, there you go. I got you.
So we were made righteous by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
They were elected.
Right. Yeah. Okay, David, here's another one real quick. Ready to Fly 24. They're commenting here on a comment that you made about the 24 around the throne.
Yeah.
You remember that discussion? Now, he says that First Chronicles 24 gives that answer about the 24. And I noticed that you commented on that as well.
Yeah, that was the 24 courses. I really thanked him for bringing that up.
Yes.
There are a handful of different. There's actually 24 gaps that we see that are throughout Scripture. But there's like, you'll have to go through the Scriptures and figure them out. There's so much that you can find. But yeah, that was the 24 courses. So I was grateful that he found that for me because I forgot where it was.
Yeah, that was good. That was really good. We do read all these comments. So, you know, we appreciate it. Now, I had a guy, he described it, he calls himself Pre-Trib Truth. And it's basically, he doesn't believe in the pre-trib. So I don't know. I guess he calls it pre-trib untruth would be a better name for you over there. But he gave a lot of different scriptures and all that. And the thing is that you've got to read scripture in context. And that's what I tried to tell him, not in a manner, I hope. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or anything else. And we do appreciate the fact that you're reading the Bible. And, we're just trying to help you, if we can, guide you and let you know that what we've been talking about now for two different shows indicates, I think it's pretty clear, David, that there is a time frame between those that are in Christ but that are deceased and those of us that are living. I believe that there is a time frame there for the rapture itself. I don't think that needs any more more description on that.
I see where it's coming from. It's not like I'm arguing with them and they're not like wrong, as we would say, wrong.
Right.
But that's not for the church. Mm-hmm. It's different. And the crux of all the problems when people are post-trib or mid-trib or anything, this is always the answer. They don't differentiate between Israel and the church.
Okay.
Always, without fail. And this is why, because they read all these verses that are about Israel, and they'll say, oh, here it is at the end of the tribulation period. Well, yes, he's speaking to Israel. It says, don't pray, it's not on the Sabbath. Pray, flee from Judea. Well, I don't live in Judea.
Right. So,
it's all about Israel.
Yeah.
When you see those states, you can see it. Even the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9, he said there a couple of times, upon thy people, Daniel. So when you read that final week is the prophecy of the 70th week for Israel. So we have to understand this when we're going into it. All right. We just lump everybody into everybody's one big box of saved. No, they're not.
It doesn't work that way.
And he tells us in many different ways. He talks about the harvest. Okay. We have different harvests with different harvest times. We have different flocks. He says, I have sheep of another fold. He's talking talking to the Jews, his disciples. Hey, I'm over here. We're talking to Israel. No, he says, I got sheep of another fold. And they're going to listen to me as well. Okay. Because he's talking about the church that they know nothing about.
Yeah.
But he's like, what's he going to explain it to him then? No, you'll get it. Don't worry about it. So it's different. We have a different means. We have a different role, a different destiny, a different mission. Okay. Our mission is not to be Israel. It's not. Israel's mission is to be Israel. They were elected to demonstrate to the entire world that they suck, because these are all the things that you screwed up and here's why.
Right.
Whereas we're his bride and he can save us. Now, people from Israel can be called out because that's what ecclesia means, to be called out. So he can call them out of Israel or he can call them out of the Gentile nations.
Right.
And then they're part of the bride.
Amen.
So a Jew can be saved and be a bride. But Israel as a nation is going to be, you know, a separate foundation.
Yeah.
Now they, salvation, separate salvation. Mm-hmm. So we're all saved by the same person, by the blood of the Lamb,
right,
and by the word of our testimony. We're all saved the same way, Amen. But we have different roles. We have different missions. We have different destinies.
Right.
Israel will rule on the earth for that 1,000 years with Christ. We will rule in the heavenlies with Christ for that 1,000 years.
Right.
Two different groups. So what he's talking about here, perfectly from a post-trib perspective, yes, if you're Jewish and not saved yet. I can see that. So I'm not mad at him for figuring this out, but it's the differentiation that we have here.
Right.
And if the 70th week is for Israel, just that very fact alone means the church cannot be here or it wouldn't be the time of Jacob's trouble.
Amen. Right. And that's what I mentioned that time to him in a very, very short reply. And I hope it makes sense to you. If not, write us again. We'll be happy. The deal is this. We're not going to get through all these today. So
no.
I'm going to do this on the end of the week show. We're going to do even more of them because this is a very important topic, and we want you guys to get it. By the way, we're going to be attending a conference in April. David, you want to tell everybody about that one real quick and how they can save a little money? And you can attend, by the way, you can attend in person or virtually. Go ahead, David.
You can go online. It's cool. All right. So Hear the Watchmen, hearthewatchmen.com, M-E-N, there's plural, hearthewatchmen.com. And April 5th through the 8th, we're having a conference down in Dallas. Well, really Grapevine, but Dallas. And then I'll be speaking there. We'll have a number of other speakers that are there. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's talking about the signs in the heavenlies of the return of Christ. So that's going to be interesting.
Yes.
If you use the term, one word, last Christian, you can get $10 off.
Right.
So if you can make it there, that'd be awesome and a whole lot better. If you can't make it there, I would recommend you at least get the live stream because you'll be able to keep those recordings if you want for perpetually until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
And then you can also share it with your friends, you know, so you have them come over, you have a little party and say, you know what, let's get together and watch this. Even though we can't go to Dallas, let's watch this together and, you know, get your church together, get your Bible group together. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
and you're
a great
learn
way
an
to,
awful lot.
It's a great way to witness too. It's an easy way to witness. It really is to do that. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. It's a very easy, a very easy way to, and you'll meet us there. We're both, David and I'll be there. I'll be interviewing a lot of people, for the show and other outlets as well. So, anyway, we'd love to,
I like that idea. A great way to witness because you can tell all your unsaved friends to come over so we can laugh at these Christians on the videos. And then they'll come over and then they'll hear the word because they thought you were going to come and laugh at them.
Right.
Hey, wait a minute. That makes sense, actually.
I'm going to throw in just a couple more news reports here real quick. And we're not going to bother with this on the end of the week show. We won't have any news, but I think it's legit for today. And first of all, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm just going to read them to you. This is Kamala Harris again. She has called out Israel over what she describes as a catastrophe in Gaza. She has directed the bulk of her comments at Israel in what appeared to be the sharpest rebuke yet by a senior leader in the U.S. government over the conditions in the coastal enclave. She said that people in Gaza are starving, the conditions are inhumane, and our common humanity compels us to act. Bloody Sunday is what she's calling this in Alabama. The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid. No excuses, she said. Now, I don't know how she is assuming the role of God here, but she needs to pick up a Bible and understand that Israel belongs to the Jewish nation, and it was given to the Jewish nation by God himself. And anybody that thinks that the The Palestinian name was actually what they called the Jews up until the Palestinians stole it from them. But here's a challenge to anybody out there who believes that the Islamic faith has a right to Israel. It's a real easy challenge. I've done it many times, and nobody has successfully answered this in any other way than what it really is, and it's not there. Find Jerusalem in the Quran. One time, one instance, find Jerusalem in the Quran. That's my challenge. It's simple. Look it up. You got the internet. You got all. Go for it. Do whatever you want. Now then, here's another test. Find how many times Jerusalem is in the Holy Bible and prepare yourself for hundreds of instances. You want to comment on that, David?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, here we are right at the end. He says, yeah, the only reason America is protected is because we were a friend of Israel so long. And now everything is just turning against them. So that's just okay, she's coming off time for judgment because now, and then they're putting the abortion pill in the stores. It's exponentially getting worse and worse. So the rapture's like around the corner.
Yeah. Well, that's another one of the things here is that the French lawmakers have made abortion a constitutional right. What happened with us here in the United States has scared them so bad that they felt like they had to protect it. You know, they've got the highest number of abortions in the world or something like that. And they wanted to make sure that they could continue to murder babies. That's all that was. So here's the deal. We'll get back to the comments. And I want to specifically mention one person before we leave because I didn't have time. I'm sorry, Darlene, for not being able to get to your question. By the way, your name, Darlene, is my mom's name. Okay. And I just sent her to heaven just the other day at 91 years old. She's now with Jesus. But you've got several great comments in here, Darlene, and I will get to them on the week ending show. We're not going to do it in the next show. That's David's show where we're in Genesis, and we're in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 3, I believe, David, unless you've moved on.
We're still at 3. It's going to be fun this week. We're coming, you know, we talked about light last week. We're going to be talking about darkness as a thing.
Okay. Well, that gives us something to look forward to. In the meantime, again, if you are joining us by YouTube, the channel is beginning to grow, but we really want it to grow because we want to get the word out there. So if you do go to the YouTube channel, if you're viewing us there, please do subscribe, like the videos, comment on them, share it with your friends. We want to grow the channel not for our glory, but for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about the show, you can go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and you can also go to David's website, thehiddenday.com, and that is a great site as well. But before we get out of here, it's important to always let people know, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's very easy. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father, meaning no one goes to heaven unless they have accepted Him as their Lord and Savior. And you can do that by simply letting God know, saying, Lord, I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know He spent 3 days in the tomb. I know He rose again on the third day, just like He said He would. I know He was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know He's ascended to heaven. I know He promised to come back for His church before God unleashes 7 years of wrath, the worst time that the world has ever seen and worse than it will ever see ever again. I promise to follow You all the remaining days of my life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray something like that, but in your own words, God listens to your heart. And if you do, you will be saved, and you will join David and I and every Christian living and dead with Jesus Christ at the time of the rapture. You'll spend eternity in heaven with each of us. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show, and be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.